Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all towns until he came to Caesarea. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It was several years ago, probably more than 12 years, I would guess, that I was sitting at lunch with a colleague. He's one of those brilliant pastors who pays attention to trends that, well, I too easily ignore. And he started out by asking me, because he knew I was an Apple guy, what I might know about these newfangled tablet computers called iPads. I knew nothing. I didn't even know they were on the horizon. You see, I tend to stick to the tried and true, to what I know. Then he turned the conversation to questions he had been monitoring about the church. There were individuals and groups who were exploring developing a church that was a fully online experience of community. It was a kind of crazy idea, at least I thought so. I was aware of a church in Oklahoma City, at least in that area, that had a main campus where they had the service and then they broadcast the service to several different sites all over the state. And, well, I thought that was pretty wacky too. You see, there were so many questions. And honestly, I dismissed even asking or exploring those questions. It wasn't the church that I knew. And I knew several forms of worship and being community and those kinds of things, but I had no interest in exploring anything that was very much outside the range of what I already knew. Besides, my experience with congregational ministry, even at those early days, was that most of the time, such innovation is not welcome. I had come to believe that when people start talking about church renewal, they think about that first time, that first place, that first community where they experienced the truth of God's presence and grace for them. Then, well, church renewal becomes an effort to recreate that time, that place, that community. And what makes it tricky is when the conversation about church renewal calls people of God away and away beyond anything they have known, anything that they have experienced. Many of the discussions of being church over the past several decades have been among and between visions for the church that, well, on one hand, are trying to recreate or repristinate the beloved past time or place or community, and on the other hand, those who are imagining whole new ways God is calling the faithful forward. Today, the church continues hearing about the adventures of the early church. In so many ways, the disciples, the apostles, were being called to balance both the desire to remain with what was known and God's call to a much more expansive understanding of the faith community. Remember that Isaiah had centuries before proclaimed that all nations would be brought into the community of the faithful. Isaiah had proclaimed that even the eunuchs would have a place. Listen, for thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. That's Isaiah 56. And before Jesus' ascension, he tells the disciples, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's in the first chapter of Acts. And certainly the disciples have been witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea. Peter's sermon on Pentecost Day was a substantial witness. What we know is that the witness was spreading in important ways. Thousands were coming to believe in Jesus day by day. Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch raises a whole variety of questions Some questions the church has preferred not to address. Others the church has dismissed. And yet here is a man who in his culture was not considered a real man. Here is a Jew who came from the ends of the earth, well, the known world, Ethiopia being south of Egypt. And yet, he was a court official and entrusted with great authority, having control of the queen's treasury, possibly a slave, further denigrating his position. And yet he was wealthy enough that he owned a scroll of Isaiah. This individual is an enigma who has gone to Jerusalem to worship. Yet we do not know whether his status as a eunuch or as an Ethiopian or as questionably Jewish, well, was he allowed to worship in the temple? Certainly, there were laws about such things. Philip's witness to this one, a learned, wealthy, well, yet marginalized man, opens a space where this man connects the dots, makes the leap, and asks the question. It is a critical question to the early church. It is still a critical question to the church today. The question cuts to the core. Is the gospel witness inclusive of all people? Does the gospel witness honor, respect, and affirm me for who I am? Those questions come out like this from this man. What is to prevent me from being baptized? And Philip baptized him. In an instant, the church elected full inclusion and affirmation by the power of the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, prompted this whole episode. Philip did not need to consult with the other apostles or with other people. Rather, he baptized him. The intersection of race, of gender, and all the ways that religious communities contend to draw lines to exclude come to the fore. In this instant, the answer to the question is yes. Yes, God is drawing the church forward into whole new ways of being church. Yes, the boundaries and lines too often drawn that defy Jesus' injunction to witness God's love, grace, and forgiveness to the ends of the earth. Yes, God's grace is truly for all people. The gospel includes everyone.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.